All right, let's talk a little BYU. He covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. He joins us on Fridays, and we always look forward to it. He is our buddy Mitch Harper. What's going on, Mitch?
Busy times, guys. It's always exciting to tackle a coaching search.
Did you get any sleep last night, Mitch?
Not much. Working the phones to, kind of get intel on this search. And, you know, it's always fascinating with BYU because unlike a place like Kentucky where you're tossing out Dan Hurley's, it's Dan Hurley D-Day, yet it ends up being Mark Pope. There's a clear understanding of who the real targets are at BYU. And you know, it's a matter of what does Tom Homo, who his top candidates are and who he feels is the best fit. And to his credit, this will be his third head coaching search. He was in Florida yesterday with BYU's cheer squad, and now that's got to, altering the schedule a little bit, but he's done a nice job with hiring basketball coaches in the past with Dave Rose and Mark Pope. Now he tackles his third opportunity.
Take us through yesterday before we really dig into to the candidates for now that open job, Mitch. Obviously, Kentucky went through a couple of options before they got to Pope, which shouldn't be a surprise. But how quickly did it come together yesterday as far as you could tell?
Yeah, it was moving at light speed. I mean, it was about 9 a.m. Mountain Time, Scott Drew, or 9:30 Mountain Time when Scott Drew issued his public statement. And then I started getting word that, Mark Pope had scheduled meetings with different divisions of BYU's, campus and, areas of the school for planning sessions for the upcoming year. And then those abruptly got canceled and he was on the move and no one was getting in touch with him and could contact him. And well, he was in Lexington finalizing to become the Kentucky head coach. So things move fast. And, once Calipari got that Arkansas job, there was always that chance with Mark Pope to land Kentucky, even though their fan base never realized it. But, Mark Pope has got a personality that we all know that can really impress. And he was aggressive in pursuing this job. And, Mark Pope has, since he's been at BYU, he's been always kind of inserted himself into coaching searches and been aggressive with his agent to, be part of the Arizona search a couple years ago when they replaced Sean Miller and, USC this year and a little bit to a lesser degree with Louisville this coaching cycle. But when Kentucky opened, I mean, that was his dream, and he goes out and chases it, and it's pretty surreal in BYU history to see a BYU head coach not only leave BYU, because that's very rare, but to leave for one of the crown jewels in jobs in college basketball in that respective sport. So it's kind of unprecedented in that regard. And but it also speaks, I think, to how much NIL alignment with current universities. If you've got a good spot like Nate Oates, where you've got your NIL, you've got your strong relationship with your AD and your school president, why leave? Why go to Kentucky? 10 years ago, you say, yeah, I'm leaving Alabama to go to Kentucky. But that doesn't happen in this climate now with the NIL era. And, for Mark Pope, where NIL was a frustrating point at times for BYU and him, how it's moved slower than most, he's on the move, and rightfully so, going to Kentucky.
Yeah, I heard there was already a $4 million donation up front for the NIL for this year's roster. So Mark Pope, with his $27 million coming to him over the next five seasons, is in a good spot. Well, speaking of Mark Pope, Mitch, let me ask you, who on BYU's current roster would you consider a Mark Pope guy? Who would you consider a BYU guy? And maybe who's a little bit of both, meaning who do we think could follow him to Kentucky?
I think BYU, or for Mark Pope guys, would be an Ali Khalifa, a Noah Waterman, maybe a Fusini Traore. BYU guy, I think you would fall under the category of Dallin Hall, potentially. I think in this era, it comes down to, NIL. But there is still that element at BYU where guys want to play at BYU. Richie Saunders, I'd say, feels like a BYU guy. But at the same time, Kentucky could be waiting for him. And if Mark Pope wants to bring him along to Kentucky, that's pretty enticing. And you got to imagine that NIL opportunities would be pretty big there. So, but I think that, BYU being in the Big 12 helps the cause to potentially maintain players. And I think that's what's critical for BYU going forward is, You know, typically in the past, when you think about like Kalani Sitake or even the Mark Pope search, these things would drag out 10, 12 days, and you just can't do that. I know BYU works slower, but the portal is open until May 1st. Players need to have assurances of who their coach is going to be moving forward. They need clarity. BYU's got to move faster than they've ever moved, and they got to get this done in a timely manner because you know who the targets are. You got to go act now and go make a move and make it a prompt. And so you can get some clarity for this roster to piece it together and then go attack the portal and add, pieces. Once you do, probably lose some players in this transition.
Mitch Harper is with us, covers Cougs for KSLSports.com. All right, Mitch, take us through the short list. It took Mark Madsen about 30 seconds to pass on the job. So where are they going from there?
You got to zero in on Chris Burgess, Utah basketball assistant coach. And you know what's an intriguing piece to Burgess is that he has BYU coaching experience, and you know that matters a lot. You look at the history of BYU basketball, and even to an extent BYU football, the coaches that have previous assistant coach history before becoming a head coach at BYU, they tend to succeed, you know, at a higher level. The ones that don't have previous BYU assistant coaching experience, they tend to have a steeper learning curve to navigate the uniqueness, the kind of circumstances that come with being at BYU. Chris Burgess understands what BYU is, and he's got some relationships already with existing players that are in the program, like a Trevin Nell, a Tiki Ali Atiki. He was heavily involved in the recruitment of Colin Chandler, the highest rated recruit that BYU has signed in the internet era. So pieces like that, I think, add to the candidacy of Chris Burgess. And he's also recruited guys at Wasatch Academy, and he's got strong connections in the international recruiting scene, and he's been very aggressive in the transfer portal. In many ways, he's kind of like Mark Pope, where, yes, he wasn't a BYU guy as a player, but he played at the highest levels of the sport with Duke, as Mike Krzyzewski played at Utah, had a decorated international career, played a little bit in the NBA, but he's a big man too, and he can coach the big men. And there's a lot of similarities, and he learned under Mark Pope for his time at UVU and BYU. Like it's a big jump from being, you know, a Utah assistant coach to being a head coach in the Big 12, where you're going to battle with Scott Drew, with Bill Self, with Tommy Lloyd. I mean, that is a massive jump for Chris Burgess, but if BYU will continue on the path of hiring only LDS coaches, and in some extent, Temple recommend LDS coach, your options are limited. And, you know, Chris Burgess fits that, and he's got that upside, he's got that potential, and he's got the BYU experience. So he would be, to me at this point, candidate number one. And then you go to Barrett Perry, UNLV assistant coach, and he was someone who was heavily involved in the coaching search before when they ended up with Mark Pope. Remember, Mark Pope was in the mix for the UNLV job, the Nevada job back then, and you know, UNLV was making a push to get Mark Pope, and there was kind of uncertainty, was BYU going to get Pope? And Barrett Perry was in the mix as maybe the number two guy before BYU ultimately landed Mark Pope. And Perry's been, you know, a guy that's coached in college basketball, very various levels, for about 20 or 30 years, excuse me, junior college, Division I, and he knows this scene too. He's been a native of Payson, Utah, strong roots in Utah County, but also has good connections in recruiting. So those are the top two guys. And, you know, I got a whole big board up on KSLSports.com breaking down the candidates. But to me, those are the top two that BYU should pursue.
Mitch, does the next head coach of BYU have to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
They do not. And, you know, BYU has expressed that. But, you know, there was a couple of years ago, Tom Holmoe at an education week in 2021 talked about this topic and said that one of the reasons they tend to do go with LDS coaches, they understand, you know, BYU's culture of you're going to have athletes that go serve missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They come back and tend to want to maybe get married too. So understanding that dating culture, but it's not required. But still, Tom Holmoe, in his track record, when it comes to the big three jobs, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football, He hires LDS coaches. And I would expect more of the same going forward. It would be a pretty big shift from BYU's view. And if they did, I think there's one candidate that fits that billing, and that's Cody Feger. But, you know, if you're Cody Feger, you're probably very in close talks with Mark Pope to maybe be, you know, get an assurance to maybe be on that Kentucky staff. And maybe you could make a pretty nice salary, a very nice salary at Kentucky as well. So if they did go that route, I think Cody Feger would make so much sense because he has institutional knowledge of BYU from his time with Dave Rose and Mark Pope. But, you know, that he's not a member of the church. And whereas Chris Burgess, Barrett Peary, Casey Beard, Houston assistant coach, those guys are LDS coaches, and that's typically the path BYU goes.
Mitch, I know this is an impossible question to answer because there's so much that is going to happen, but regardless of who gets the job, how is this going to adjust expectations for next year?
Oh, it should adjust significantly, you know, because you have to you're likely hiring a coach. Well, you're hiring a coach that has no power conference experience. I think that's what makes this coaching search so fascinating, is that it's the first, you know, big head coaching hire with BYU as a power conference team. And you would like to think that BYU adjusts in a manner where the time frame gets sped up, because, you know, that's always been the wonder or the thought about BYU, is like, yes, you're at the big time now, but are you willing to do everything it takes to be big time? Because the Big 12 is 9 out of the last 11 years the best conference in college basketball in the regular season and the metrics. And are you willing to act like those programs do, or will you continue to do the BYU way? And the BYU way has been very successful for BYU for many years, but this level of competition is the likes of which they've never experienced before. I mean, last year is being deemed a success. You still went 10-8, and you had some really dud losses against, you know, Oklahoma State and Kansas State, where you didn't look good. And then you ultimately ended up the season losing to Duquesne. So there's going to be a little bit of setbacks, and, you know, the league gets better next year with the addition of Arizona. I mean, this league, I put my way too early power rankings, which already need to be adjusted. But, you know, the depth of this conference is it's way better. You just stack up the teams and you go, man, this is going to be a gauntlet again. And so, yes, I think that it's got to be readjusted, because you're going to lose some players on this roster because Mark Pope's gone, and rightfully so, as they should. I mean, most of these guys, some of these guys, they don't, you know, sign with BYU. Some, of course, did, as we talked earlier, but some are going to want to go chase that opportunity at Kentucky. So, yes, it's got to be readjusted, and maybe a reset of the clock of what expectations are for BYU in the Big 12 and in year two.
What do you expect of Mark Pope at Kentucky? I mean, I have some Kentucky fan friends that were heartbroken last night, but you give him the tools to recruit, unlike what he's been able to do at BYU, and I think it gets pretty interesting.
He's going to be one of the best coaches in college basketball. And, you know, when I viewed him, when I covered every step of the Mark Pope era at BYU, and he always operated at BYU as a guy that's one of the top 10 coaches in college basketball. Now, there was always a, you know, kind of a ceiling at BYU, but his demeanor, his way of operating, you know, when he talks about relentless, he really is that. I mean, he was the perfect coach for BYU. Now, he rubbed shoulders, he kind of, you know, turned some people off down at BYU because of that relentless nature. I mean, he you know, where he's publicly going out saying, you know, BYU moves slow on NIL. You know, that's not going to always sit well with people around BYU, but you can't deny that what he did at BYU this past season, when no one was expecting anything of them, was quite the coaching job. And he'll always adjust, and he'll recruit to whatever he needs to do. And now you give him endless resources at Kentucky. He's going to do a dang good job there. And it was puzzling to me that Kentucky didn't just make him a top priority out of the beginning, because he really is a great fit for that spot, because Calipari, he didn't care about the brand of Kentucky. He was more worried about NBA draft night, whereas Pope will win those people over from that standpoint of he'll tap into the nostalgia, he'll tap into the understanding, the richness, the history of Kentucky, whereas he didn't really have that at BYU. He even acknowledged that the history of BYU was not known to him. He dove in and made sure he knew everything he needed to, but he lived it at Kentucky, and it's going to be a kind of a deeper, I think alums in this day and age work at schools, and I think he's going to do a dang good job, and it'll be fascinating to see how he fares there, but I think he'll do very well, and I think he'll emerge as one of the best coaches in the sport.
Mitch, I'm curious. Now, I think Tom Homo has done such a good job as the AD at BYU that he should keep that job forever if he wants. He should weekend at Bernie's that thing if he so desires. But do you know how much longer he wants to do this? Is there a chance this is his last big hire as AD at BYU?
I think there's a really good chance that could be the case. And, you know, Tom operates on a year-by-year contract, and that's unique in college landscape where ADs, you know, they want to have that assurance they're under contract for a long term. Tom, you know, he's got that year-by-year deal. I think to your point that he kind of calls his shots, and I'm sure he'd like to, you know, have influence on maybe who that next individual is, you know, to be the next AD. But, yeah, that's very possible that this could be maybe a legacy hire from the basketball side. And, you know, Tom's, you know, bread and butter has always been football. And he'll turn to people that he trusts with this basketball search. You know, Brian Santiago is very involved with the men's basketball and women's basketball programs. And, you know, Danny Ainge is always around BYU, and I'm sure he'll tap into him as a potential resource and thoughts on the hire. So, but, Tom Homo, this could be, you know, the last one for him. And you know, he made it clear to me a couple months ago that, you know, the football side, there's no hot seat for Kalani. And so now with this, men's basketball could maybe be the last.
Mitch, thank you. Appreciate it. Happy Friday. And
get some sleep.
Yeah, you get try
sometime.
And get some rest. Hopefully BYU hire somebody soon for your sake.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch is going to be on with Jeremiah Jensen later today.
Mitch Harper.